ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय. रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम केंटो 6 चैप्टर 18 एंटाइटल्ड दीति वाउस टू किल इंद्र टेक्स्ट 54 टू टेक्स्ट 61. I'll just read the translations of text 54 to 60 as they do not have the purport, and then we'll recite text 61. Text 54. Kashyap continued, "If you perform this ceremony called Pumsavan, adhering to the vow with faith for at least 1 year, you will give birth to a son destined to kill Indra. But if there is any discrepancy in the discharge of this vow, the son will be a friend to Indra." Text 55. O King Parikshit, Diti, the wife of Kashyapa, agreed to undergo the purificatory process known as Pumsavan. "Yes," she said, "I shall do everything according to your instructions." With great jubilation, she became pregnant, having taken the semen from Kashyap, and faithfully began to discharge the vow. Text 56. O King, who are respectful to everyone, Indra understood Diti's purpose, and thus he contrived to fulfill his own interests. Following the logic that self-preservation his first law of nature, he wanted to break Diti's promise. Thus, he engaged himself in the service of Diti, his aunt, who was residing in an ashram. Text 57. Indra served his aunt daily by bringing flowers, fruits, roots and wood for yajna from the forest. He also brought kushagras, leaves, sprouts, earth and water exactly at the proper time. Text 58. O King Parikshit, as the hunter of a deer becomes like a deer by covering his body with deer skin and serving the deer, so Indra, although at heart enemy of the sons of Diti, became outwardly friendly and served Diti in a faithful way. Indra's purpose was to cheat Diti as soon as he could find some fault in the way she discharged the vow of the ritualistic ceremony. However, he wanted to be undetected, and therefore he served her very carefully. Text 59. O master of the entire world, when Indra could find no faults, he thought, "How will there be good fortune for me?" Thus, he was full of deep anxiety. Text 60. Having grown weak and thin because of strictly following the principles of vow, Diti once unfortunately neglected to wash her mouth, hands and feet after eating and went to sleep during the evening twilight. Text 61. Which we'll now read. Labdhva tad anantaram shakro nidra apaharta chetasa dithe pravishta udaram yogesho yoga mayaya labdhva tad antaram shakro nidra apaharta chetasa ditehe pravishta udaram yogesho yoga mayaya. Vedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Translation. Finding this fault, Indra, who has all the mystic powers, the yogi siddhis such as anima and laghima, entered Diti's womb while she was unconscious, being fast asleep. Purport. A perfectly successful yogi is expert in 8 kinds of perfection. By one of them called Anima Siddhi, he can become smaller than an atom, and in that state he can enter anywhere. With this yogic power, Indra entered the womb of Diti while she was pregnant. Hare Krishna. So before I begin, I would like to seek the blessings of all the assembled devotees so that I can speak on Srimad Bhagavatam for my own purification. So we are reading this chapter on Diti vows to kill Indra. So we have been seeing in this chapter how Diti, she had a malicious desire to kill Indra because Indra happened to be the cause of killing of her two sons, Hiranyaksha and Hiranyakashipu. So then she decides to take shelter of his husband and ask for a boon where she could get a son to kill Indra. And then after serving Kashyap Muni in a very, very nice way, so that Kashyap does not get any hint of what she is going to look forward. And then she pleases Kashyap, and further on Kashyap asks a benediction from Kashyap Muni, and Kashyap Muni is very, very pleased. And then Kashyap Muni finally, very intelligently, as a great devotee of the Lord, looks for a very Vaishnav ritualistic process, the Pumsuvan Yajna, wherein he gives her Vaishnav process of purification. And we see by the process which she is following, she gets purified, as we would see, and ultimately her desire to kill Indra was nullified, or she lost the desire. But now current section which we are reading is the section where Indra, also afraid of his own death, because he came to know that Diti is performing such a sacrifice, so he also wanted to protect his life. So he was very, very fearful. Even though he had all the yogic powers, the demigods, although drinking nectar every day, but still very, very fearful at this condition. And he also takes to this duplicitous behavior. He also begins to serve Diti in a way that she does not detect his identity, and then pleases her. And looking for, basically, he is looking at where Diti will perform a fault, and I will take use of that opportunity. So here today we will see how this element of fear is there in all the living entities, unless one takes the shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This material existence implies, this material body implies that there will be the fear. And only when one takes shelter of the Supreme Controller, the Supreme Proprietor of this entire cosmos, the entire material nature, then one can become free from the fear of material existence. As we sing in that beautiful bhajan, Bhajahure Mana Sri Nandanandana Abhaya Charanaravindare. And when one takes shelter of Nandanandan, when one worships or glorifies Sri Nandanandan, one can overcome all fears of material existence. We also know that famous story which His Holiness Sachinandan Maharaj tells about his own experience. When he was young, he was distributing newspapers, and he would go to every house, and from a cycle, he would cycle and distribute the newspapers. And then in one of the house, there was a big dog which would always bark. And one time when he had to go and collect the money, so he went there to the house, and the dogs approached him in a very, very ferocious way, and he was very, very fearful. But then the master of that person came, of the dog came, and then the master, he requested help from the master. The master brought the dog in control. So he was explaining that this is how the material nature, the Maya Devi, her influence is very, very strong. We cannot overcome her, as also Krishna explains, Mama Maya Duratyaya, very, very difficult to overcome the influence of material nature, the Maya Devi. But when we take shelter of the person who controls the Maya Devi, then we can be completely free from this fear of material existence, which is part of this material body. This concept of fearlessness also is one of the symptoms of surrenders, avashya rakhibe Krishna. When one takes complete shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sharanagati, then one exhibits this quality of complete faith in Krishna's protection. We have the classic example of Prahlad Maharaj, who, in spite of so much torture by his own father, being thrown from the high mountains, being crushed by the elephants, by being put into fire, so many tribulations, but he is completely fearless for one reason, because he had the Supreme Lord in his meditating in his heart constantly, and complete faith that if Krishna wants to protect me, then there is no one who can kill. And if Krishna wants me to die, then there is no one who can save me. So we see that is the classic example. Also, in the Krishna book, today's point which we are discussing, how Indra, even though he is having all the yogic siddhis, still he is fearful. So one of the pastimes of the killing of Agasura, which Srila Prabhupada describes beautifully in the Krishna book, also brings forth this point, how a devotee who is Sharanagat or has taken complete shelter exhibits this fearlessness as compared to one who has not. Even though the Brajavasis, they are much, much beyond the level of a Sharanagat devotee, they are the pure bhaktas, but still the qualities of Sharanagat is exhibited in them. So we will see through this episode of Aghasur, the killing of Aghasur demon, how this fearlessness was exhibited by the Brajavasis. So one day, Krishna is a fun-loving god, so he decides to have picnic in the early morning. So Krishna, he gets up early in the morning and then blew up his bugle. And then all his coward friends who were taking rest, they also get up and they hear the beautiful sound vibration of Krishna's bugle. They all get up. Of course, the whole night they were meditating on when will Krishna call them. The whole day the Brajavasis, the coward boys, they would be with Krishna the whole day. But in the night, when Krishna would go to take rest or when he would go with the gopis, the cowherd friends, they would be missing Krishna's association. That was their love. So in the early morning, they would be waiting, when would Krishna call us? So in this particular day, Krishna called, got up early in the morning, a little earlier than the usual time, and he wanted to have a picnic in the forest of Sri Vrindavan Dham. Of course, the acharyas explained that Balramji was not there. He didn't go that day because that happened to be his appearance day. So Rohini Mata wanted to keep her home to dress him and perform the other processes of charity and other things. So he did not go. Then all the cowherd boys with their calves, which are numbered thousands and ten thousands of calves, all of them came in front of Krishna's house. Thousands of and calves and ten thousands and thousands, and each one of them carrying a venu, the flute, the vetra, the stick to herd the cows, the rope, the lunch bag, and the bugles. They were all very well equipped, very nicely dressed by their mothers with the pearl necklaces, gold necklace, the gunja necklaces. And also then Krishna also comes out with his asankhya cows. That's how Srimad Bhagavatam describes. And the acharyas explained that asankhya refers to a quantity which is beyond our comprehension. Srila Prabhupada explains in the purport, it is like one followed by, say, around 17 zeros. It's such a huge number. And therein that purport, Srila Prabhupada explains very emphatically that one should not think that these statements in Srimad Bhagavatam are mythological. They are facts, but inconceivable facts. Prabhupada says that if we study Krishna's potency with our limited knowledge, that potency will never be possible. With that potency, it will never be possible to understand Krishna's power. Prabhupada quotes from Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu that Atha Shri Krishnamadi na bhavet grahyam indriya. That with our material senses, we cannot understand Krishna's pastimes or Krishna's inconceivable nature. As Bhaktisiddhanta Sri Thakur Maharaj also says that the quality of inconceivable has to be given to the Supreme Personality of Godhead that is there. So Krishna and all his friends assembled. They were very nicely decorated and they are all walking along the forest path, enjoying the beautiful forest scenery. So all of them, in a very playful mood, they pick up various flowers, leaves and twigs and started to decorate themselves and also decorate Krishna. So in this way, they were performing wonderful pastimes. And sometimes they would perform various pastimes, like they all had their lunch bags. So one of the cohort boys would steal the lunch bag of the other and pass it on to the third and give it on to the fourth. And this way, the person whose lunch bag would be stolen, he would be looking after it and he would be crying, "Hey, where is my lunch bag? Where is my lunch bag?" And sometimes they would throw it on the thorny bushes, so he'll not be able to get it. So in this way, they would enjoy various pastimes. So in this section also, wherein this pastime Shukadeva Goswami describes, Prabhupada also writes another beautiful purport that such pleasures we see children enjoying like this in the material world also like this. But the pleasure of this material world is jada as compared to the eternal pleasure which is enjoyed by Krishna and his associates. And Prabhupada explains that that is the process, that is the mood of Krishna consciousness movement to teach us how to take pleasure in spiritual activities. So when we, all of us spirit souls, Anandamaya Vyasat, looking for happiness. So when we seek for happiness in spiritual activities, in the kirtan of the holy name, in hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, in chanting the names of God, then we experience a pleasure which is eternal and spiritual in nature. And Prabhupada also explained that that's the reason Krishna appears in this world, to show us his wonderful pastimes or leelas in the spiritual world, to attract us of the glories or the beautiful nature of the spiritual abode. These pastimes are like the trailer which Krishna exhibits in the spiritual world. And then some of the cowherd boys, they were playing on the flutes, some were playing on the bugles, and there were some of them were dancing, some of them were trying to imitate the buzzing of the bees, some of them like would be imitating the onomatopoetic sounds of the cuckoo birds. Some of them would be flying with the shadow of the birds. The birds would be flying high. And some of the boy head friends would be flying, walking, running just to catch the shadows. And some of them would sit where the swans would be sitting and imitate them. Some of them would dance along with the peacocks in a beautiful way. In this way, giving pleasure to Krishna along with them. And some of them would imitate the monkeys. They would sit beside the monkeys and make various faces. And they would catch the tail of the monkeys and jump across the trees. Some of them would go in the waterfalls, would play nicely in the waters. And some of them would jump along with the frogs inside the rivers. And some of them, they would find an empty well and they would call ill names there. And then the eco would come and they would take great pleasure in that. So in this way, Krishna, along with his cowherd friends, would enjoy in Sri Vrindavan Dham while going to this picnic. And then Shukadeva Goswami, however, after describing this pleasure pastimes of the cowherd boys, clarifies that these cowherd boys are not ordinary people. He quotes that famous verse where we say that kritya punya punja, that they have amassed heaps and heaps of pious activities. Of course, not the material pious activities, but pious activities of spiritual nature. That is why they were able to get the association of the Supreme Lord Krishna, whom even Shukadeva Goswami explained that jnanis and yogis, after millions of lifetimes of efforts, of hard labor, cannot attain the dust particle. So that Supreme Lord Sri Krishna, they were playing with, they were seeing him face to face. Sorry. And then Shukadeva Goswami, explains the arrival of Aghasur. So this is a beautiful verse, which this verse and another future verse which we'll see, which contrasts the mood which we are discussing today of fear of material existence. So I'll read this verse from the Srimad Bhagavatam. Shukadeva Goswami explains, Atha agha nama bhya patan mahasura tesham sukha kridan viksham kshanaha nityam yadantar nijajivite psubhi pitamriter api amara pratikshyate. Basically, in this word, his Shukadeva Goswami explained that Atha agha nama bhya, at one time, once when this picnic was going on, a demon named Agha appeared. And Shukadev Goswami qualifies him as Mahasur, a very, very powerful and strong Asur. He's described as Mahasur because even the demigods, as Shukadev Goswami explains, Yad Antar Nij Jivet Upsubhi Pit Amrit, that they were drinking Amrit, nectar, out of the fear of Aghasur to maintain, so that they could maintain their lives. So therefore, he's described as Mahasur. And then when he comes and sees Tesham Sukha Kridan, he sees the cowherd boys enjoying along with Krishna. He could not see that. Vikshana Kshamaha. That is, Prabhupada translates that they could not see. So that is the nature of envy, that one cannot see Krishna and his cowherd friends being enjoyed. Even though he saw the beautiful scene of Krishna, the beautiful form of the Supreme Lord, enjoying with the cowherd friends, but he could not appreciate that because of the envies. Of course, Srila Prabhupada makes another beautiful point in the purport, that how could demons disturb such playing pastimes of Krishna in Vrindavan? So Prabhupada quotes Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur in the purport and explains that, so Srinivasa was playing since the morning, so there was now lunchtime. So Krishna arranged through his Leela Shakti to inspire Aghasur to come at that point of time. And also Prabhupada explains that they were playing, so Krishna wanted a variety. So they would stop this game and take a lunch and then another game. So Krishna would enjoy in a different way. So therefore, this Agha demon was inspired by the Supreme Lord to appear in this scene. Otherwise, who can stop the enjoyment of Krishna, the Supreme Lord, in Sri Braj Bhumi? So the Aghasur demon, he thought, he was of course the brother of Putana and Baka, the two demons whom Krishna had already killed. So he was very, very upset and angry. And he was thinking that I will kill Krishna along with all the cowherd friends. And then when Krishna and cowherd friends are killed, all the Vrajavasis, the parents, they would automatically die. So in this way, he wanted to take revenge. He was thinking that this will be his Pindadan ceremony to his sisters, Putana and brother Bakasur. So that was the malicious intentions of Bakasur. So then thinking like this, Aghasur decided how to swallow all of them at a time. So he assumed a huge form of a python, big serpent of 8 miles long and as wide as a huge mountain, and with his lips touching the ground and the upper lips touching the sky. And he assumed this ferocious form. Says that, and his tongue, it is described, was looking like a traffic highway. His mouth was like the dark end of that highway. And his sides, they were looking like the openings of the caves. And his breathing, they were like the hot gushing wind. Like that. His eyes were covered with fire, burning. So in this way, he appeared in that unusual huge form, destroying with a desire to swallow Krishna and cowherd friends. And then the Krishna, along with his cowherd friends, he is there. So then all the cowherd friends discuss, when they see this huge form, they begin to discuss about what is this we have come across. So one of the cowherd boyfriends said, probably it's a huge, like the statue of a python or a snake which Krishna has arranged for us to enjoy in it. And some of the boyfriends said, no, it's not a statue of a snake, it is some old dead lying object which is lying in here. And some of the cowherd boys was just neglecting. And some of the cowherd boys said, hey, probably it's a living snake, python, who is lying to swallow all of us. So in this way, they were discussing this about the identity of this place. And they were thinking probably Krishna had arranged through his potency for us this place in Vrajbhumi so that we can enjoy further pastimes. So finally, another beautiful verse in Srimad Bhagavatam, which contrasts to the verse which we read previously about the behavior or the demigods' behavior, how they reacted, the Brajabasis, who were the completely surrendered souls, they react to this situation. And Shukadev Goswami explained, Asman kimatra grasita nivashtan ayam tatha ched bhakavad vinakshyati shanad aneti baka ari ushan makhan vikshod udhasanta karat tadantir yugah. Basically, in Shukadeva Goswami, in this verse, explain that Asman, the cowherd friends are saying, let all of us get into this mouth of this, whatever it may be, grasita, even if it has come to swallow to us. And what was their faith? They were saying that he, I am tatha ched, like bakasur, bakavad vinakshanti, that this demon, if it is a python also, he will be demolished or vanquished as Krishna destroyed the baka. And then, looking at the beautiful form of the Supreme Lord, Shukadeva Goswami used a beautiful, he says, Bak Ari Ushan Mukham, that the cowherd friends, looking at the beautiful form of Bak Ari, the demon of Bakasur, the killer of Bakasur, Krishna, all the cowherd friends looking at the beautiful form and laughing loudly, Udhasantaha, laughing very, very loudly, and Karataadanair, like clapping, very loudly laughing, clapping, looking at the beautiful form of Bak Ari, they entered into the mouth of Aghasur. So that was the contrast to the demigods, which were, as we read in the previous verse, Shukadeva Goswami explains that they were completely fearful, even though they were drinking nectar the whole every day, but still they were fearful of Aghasur. That is the difference. Pita Amriteir Api. So they were pratikshanti. They were awaiting the death of Aghasur out of fear. Whereas these Brajabasis, they were smiling, clapping, having complete faith that Krishna will protect us, enters into the mouth of Aghasur. Then, of course, Shukadeva Goswami explains that Krishna, who is the Antaryami, he knew what the cowherd friends are discussing. So he wanted basically to stop this whole thing. He didn't want his cowherd friends to enter, but still they entered. So herein this question is raised, that Krishna's Satya Sankalpa Shakti is there, that whatever Krishna desires becomes possible. So herein Krishna was thinking that the cowherd friends not enter Agasur's mouth. So how is that they entered into the mouth of Agasur? Did Krishna's Satya Sankalpa Shakti did not work? So therein the acharyas explain that the devotee's desire, the cowherd friend's desire to enjoy with Krishna in the Aghasur's mouth was more. So the Krishna's Satya Sankalpa Shakti or Krishna's Leela Shakti perfectly harmonizes this beautiful setup. Even though Krishna's Satya Sankalpa Shakti desired that the cowherd friends do not enter, but since the devotees wanted to enjoy with Krishna in the mouth of Aghasur, they were allowed to enter inside. Of course, when all the cowherd friends entered, Aghasur did not close his mouth. He was waiting for Krishna. He was thinking, hey, he is the killer of my brother and sister. So how can I swallow them alone? See, he was waiting for Krishna to enter. Krishna, Bhagavatam explains, astonished for a moment, thinking how he can now save the cowherd friends, at the same time kill Aghasur. And Prabhupada explains purport that Krishna is Ananta Virya Sarvagya. That means he knows everything about every situation. Prabhupada explains that everything is known to him. Therefore he is known as Ananta Virya sarvegya. Therefore, he knew how he would be able to save the coward friends and at the same time kill Aghasura. Of course, the demigods who were also seeing this of beautiful episode of Krishna along with his coward friends, and when they saw Krishna entering into the mouth of Aghasura, they began to say, "Alas, alas." They were in great anxiety. Of course, Srila Prabhupada explains that that anxiety was out of their devotion for Krishna. Because in devotion, there is affection. And sometimes in affection, one loses discrimination. So therefore, out of great anxiety, they were saying, "Alas, alas," like that. And then Krishna is a unique style of killing demons. So he expands herein. Of course, this time here, Mother Yashoda and all the coward friends, they were not around. Because otherwise in Braj Leela, Krishna, like in killing Putana, in Trinavarth, he never expanded or assumed huge form or does some transformation. Herein, no Brajavasis were around. And all the coward boys and calves, they were also, they became unconscious. And because of the heat and of course missing Krishna. So Krishna expands and suffocates the Aghasur demon. And he was completely suffocated, his eyes bulging out, and he could not like control himself. And finally, from the Brahmarandra, from the head of his the top hole of his head, the spirit soul came out and he left his body like that. So in this way, of course, the acharyas further on, Srila Prabhupada in the purport, in the further verses, explains that finally that Aghasura's soul, the spark remained outside his body for some time. And then when Krishna came out, of course, Krishna, all the coward friends, those who were had become unconscious, they regained lives because of the nectar shower of the Krishna's glands. So they also came along out. And then Prabhupada explains that, and Krishna and the coward friends, they all came. And when the demigods were all seeing this scene, the soul, the spark entered into the body of Krishna. And then Prabhupada, actually the further verses, Sukadeva Goswami, however, explains that basically he attains Sarupya Marti, Mukti, ultimately. And in the last verse also, Sukadeva Goswami clarifies, because Krishna personally entered into the mouth of Aghasura and purified him. And when all the demigods, they began to offer showers of flowers from Nandan Kanan. The Apsaras, they began to dance. The Gandharvas, they began to sing and glorify the Supreme Lord. The Vidyadharas, they began to play on various instruments. And the Brahmanas, they began to chant the Vedic hymns. In this way, there was the glorification of the Supreme Lord was being carried out in the entire universe. And it penetrated the whole universe. Even Brahmaji, when he heard these sounds, he came and began. And he came to see what is happening in this Braj Bhumi. And of course, we know the next chapter is Brahma Vimohan Leela. So after this, he gets bewildered also. So then, of course, in that purport, beautiful purport, Srila Prabhupada describes where the Sukadeva Goswami mentions that the different demigods were offering flowers, the Apsaras were dancing, the Gandharvas were singing. Prabhupada explains that that is the purpose of the human form of life or any form of life. Everyone in specific duty begins to glorify the Supreme Lord. And there Prabhupada explains that everyone of us have certain qualifications, and the purpose of the human form of life is to utilize those to glorify the Supreme Lord. And Prabhupada explains in the purport that this is the reason for establishment of Krishna consciousness movement, to teach one how one should be trained to glorify the Supreme Lord with whatever abilities one has. And Prabhupada explained that to understand how to glorify the Lord is the actual research work. So that is the true research work if one wants to do, is to glorify the Supreme, how to glorify with whatever capacities, capabilities, qualifications one has, like that. So, and then, in this way, we see in this episode how by taking complete shelter of the Supreme Lord. The Brajavasi is completely fearless, and then one can act as per his true nature. Of course, also today is the 2nd of October, the day, so therefore I thought we'll discuss something about Srila Prabhupada and something about from Sri Chaitanya Charitamrit or Chaitanya Bhagavat about the first civil disobedience movement with whatever little time we have. So Srila Prabhupada, as Krishna explains in the Bhagavad Gita, who is a real Mahatma? Mahatma nam stupart devim prakritim arshita. One who takes shelter of my Devi Prakriti, he is a real Mahatma. And we see in the life of Srila Prabhupada how he exhibited the complete surrender and to his spiritual master, to the Supreme Lord, and how he, because he had taken complete shelter of the instructions of his spiritual master and the Supreme Lord, fearlessly went to the United States to preach at the age of 70, when most of the people think to retire. So that fearlessness was there in Srila Prabhupada because of his complete surrender to the will of the Supreme Lord. He was the true freedom fighter who gave us freedom from birth, gave us a process to free from the birth, old age, disease and death. We know that wonderful pastime in Sri Vrindavan when Srila Prabhupada was there, and when magician came and he was performing various magics in the courtyard of Vrindavan temple, Krishna Balaram Mandir, and all the people came there and all the devotees were also watching. And then Srila Prabhupada, after that magician performed his magic, he asked, Srila Prabhupada asked, can you, like he was making disappear certain things and appear certain things from his hand. Then Prabhupada asked, can you make disappear death? Srila Prabhupada, he said, no, I cannot. Then Prabhupada said, I can do that. Because Srila Prabhupada had complete faith in the words of his spiritual master and taken complete shelter of Srimati Radharani, he could preach this message of Krishna consciousness at the age of 70 all over the world with no support from his people in India, not contacts in United States also. So in that condition, Srila Prabhupada left. So it's our great fortune to be a part of this movement by Srila Prabhupada's grace. Of course, in the end, I'll just conclude by one small episode. Of course, it's a large, beautiful, long episode described in Chaitanya Bhagavat. But for my own purification, we'll just briefly discuss this episode from Chaitanya Bhagavat to conclude. So this episode comes in Chaitanya Bhagavat after the pastime of the famous milk-drinking brahmachari. After Lord Chaitanya chastises that milk-drinking brahmachari. And then after that episode, all the pious people in Navadvip, they were thinking actually that because of the atheists and all the people who are sinful people in Navadvip, somehow we are unable to see the beautiful dancing of Lord Gaurasundar. Because Lord Chaitanya would perform his dancing, his kirtans in the close rooms. And even then, in the night, only his close associates were allowed. So then all the people, they were feeling separation. They were hankering to see the beautiful dancing of the Lord Sri Gaurasundar. And then actually all the pious people, they would come every day to the house of Vishwambar and offer various gifts to see the beautiful form of the Lord. And then finally Lord decides to introduce or induce the Harinam Sankirtan, the Adi Sankirtan, the initiate the Sankirtan movement. One of the purposes for the Lord's descent to all the people of this world. And then one of the days when all the people had assembled to his house in the morning, and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu then begins to instruct. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, Apanara Sabara Prabhu Kara Upadeshe Krishna Nama Mahamantra Shunaho Harishe. He says that to all the people assembled, that Krishna Nama Mahamantra, that chant the names of Krishna and Shunoho Harishe, that become hear and become happy. So that was the instruction Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave, that hear Krishna Naam Mahamantra Shunoho Harishe, that hear this holy name and become happy. And then Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu instructed that all of you go to your homes, collect your family members, the neighbors in groups of 5 or 10, and constantly perform Sankirtan. And you can clap with your hands and use kartals and mardangs and glorify the Supreme Lord every day in your house and make Krishna the object of your life and the prime object of your life. And of course, Vrindavan Das Thakur explains that all of them had previously also kartals and mardanga because they were performing the Durga Puja. So they were using those kartals and mardangs which they had for Durga Puja. So in this way, the entire town of Navadvip was chanting and glorifying the Supreme Lord. The people would come together in small groups, clap their hands and chant and glorify the Maha Mantra. So one time Sridhar Kolavech, when he happened to pass and he heard the holy names, he also began to dance in great ecstasy. But he was now happy that all the people are chanting in Navadvip like that. But the local inhabitants who were atheists, they were thinking, hey, these people now they don't have money, so they are probably celebrating Durga Puja in a wrong time. They were doing fund collection probably by performing Durga Puja at this time, which is not the time of Durga Puja. So they were criticizing. And in this way, the whole town of Navadvip was inundated with the holy names of the Supreme Lord. And one time, the Qazi, along with his followers, he was taking a tour of Sri Navadvip. And then he heard all these sounds. So he was thinking, hey, what is this influence of Hinduism coming all over my province? So he began to shout loudly, catch him, catch him, catch anyone who is chanting the names of the Lord, and I will take action. And he, in this way, destroyed the whole Harinam, the Sankirtan groups, where people were chanting and glorifying. And he even broke the mridanga and created the havoc all over the place. And in this way, Qazi instructed all his followers that every day you should go out, and anyone who chants publicly or glorifies the holy name should be arrested and brought to me, and then I will take care of them personally. And then when all this was happening, all the people of Navadvip, they just, out of the fear of the Qazi, they stopped and they were performing the kirtans in their private houses quietly, and they were performing with softly playing the kartals and mardangs, not coming publicly. And in this way they were performing. And later on they informed Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu Vishwambar about this, what was happening. And then they informed Vishwambar, and when Lord Chaitanya heard this, he roared loudly, said, Kirtanera Vadashuni Prabhu Vishwambara Krodha Hoilena Prabhu Rudra Murti Dhara. He assumed the anger of Rudra, Lord Shiva, at the time of devastation, when he hears that someone is performing a badha, a vad, in the Harinam Sankirtan. And then he roared loudly and called out to Nityananda that you go and call all the Vaishnavas and we will perform Kirtan throughout the Navadvip. We will burn the Qazi's house. And in this way, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said that today I will shower incessant rains of pure devotional service, and the atheists will face their ultimate fate today, and we will break the Qazi's house into pieces. And then Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu instructed that everyone after lunch make torches and come and assemble here, and we will perform the Harinam Sankirtan, the Adi Sankirtan. The news spread all over the Navadvip that Nimai will dance throughout the streets of Navadvip. So all the Navadvip Vasis were very, very happy that finally their desire to see Lord Gaura Sundar dancing publicly will be satisfied. So in this way, all of them, of course, forgetting to take lunch, they started to prepare torchlights throughout the day. The fathers would prepare, the sons would prepare. So everyone prepared big, big torchlights and carried huge oil containers to fill in those lights. And millions of people, Vrindavandas Thakur explains another inconceivable factor, assembled there with torchlights. And so in this way, they all assembled in front of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And then the Lord proclaims that, he says, he makes three different groups. He says, Advaitacharya will dance in one of the groups. Haridas, he will dance in another group. And Srivas Pandit will dance in another group. And all of you make groups and dance along with them. And then Nityanand Prabhu said, I will be with you. He wanted to be with Lord Chaitanya. So devotees headed by Gadadhar, Rakreshwar, Murari, Gopinath, Srivas, Gangadas, Shigarbha, Mukunda, Sridhar, Govinda, and all the other devotees. Vrindavandas Thakur says that, how can I describe the list, which is unfathomable? Then Ananta Chaitanya Bhritya, he says that there are unlimited of the Lord Chaitanya's servants who were there in this Harinam Sankirtan in great ecstatic bliss, performing this Harinam Sankirtan, and the holy name vibrated throughout the universe. The millions of torches in all directions, and the entire sky was illuminated, and nobody could make out whether it is daytime or the evening time. It was appearing, Vrindavandas Thakur explained, that as if Krishna personally appeared in the form of light in this. And there were kartals and vompers and hundreds and thousands of mridangas and kartals, and the combined power was able to defeat the millions of roarings of lions. So that was the tumultuous kirtan. And then as the Lord moved ahead, everyone chanted and floated in the waves of ecstasy of the holy name. And then Vrindavandas Thakur in detail describes the beautiful form of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, his dancing. And then finally he explains that there were millions and millions of people, and then there were, and the amazing thing that was, Vrindavandas Thakur gives an analogy to explain the millions of people. He says that if you throw a mustard seed, that would not fall down. There were so many people that there was no place even for a mustard seed to drop in that kirtan. And but still, he explains that the inconceivable part of Lord Gaurasundar's dancing was that everyone was able to see, in spite of heavy crowds, everyone was able to take darshan. That is the inconceivable nature of the Supreme Lord. The thieves, they were thinking, hey, everyone had left their house open, that now they would steal. But then they were, when they heard the kirtan, they were also absorbed and participated in the kirtan. So everyone danced and clapped. Vrindavandas Thakur paused at this point of time. Hey, how did they clap? Because they were having torchlights in their hands and oil lamps. So he explains, it is as if the Vaikuntha had manifested there. They unknowingly assume have got the four hands. They were holding the torchlights and clapping in this wonderful Harinam Sankirtan. And all the people passing through the banks of the Ganges, and finally through the Madhai Ghat, they reached the Simulia village where Kazi's house was there. And all the people were chanting, Eba Kaji Beta Ketha Gola. So they were also in great determination. Now we will see, where is Kazi? Where is Kazi gone? And they were running to catch the atheists and trying to induce them to chant. And seeing this beautiful Sankirtan, the inauguration of the Harinam Sankirtan, all the demigods, they also assume the human form to participate in this transcendental Nam Kirtan. And Lord reached the Kazi's house. Kazi, of course, when the Lord was at a far off place, the Kazi was thinking that Nimai Pandit is probably going for some marriage ceremony. Therefore, this sound is coming from a distance. But then he sent his men to see the situation. And then when they reached there, they were completely bewildered and shocked and afraid to see that sight, and people shouting loudly, kill the Kazi, kill the Kazi. And then millions of people with torchlights. So they, when they approached the Kazi and told him the whole situation, so some of the, and he also began to tremble. And some of them, actually, the Kazi's followers, they removed their turbans and joined in the kirtan party. And Vrindavandas Thakur explained that some of those had beard, so they were keeping their mouths below because they could not hide in the kirtans. So in this way, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he reached outside the house of Kazi, he began to call out loudly, "Get the Kazi! I will cut off his head and rid the world of all the Yavanas today." So in this way, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was telling all his followers, "Break his house! Let Kazi burn to death!" So in this way, he was proclaiming loudly, and all the associates of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they entered, the millions of them, entered into the house of Kazi and broke his house completely like that. And then, of course, Vrindavan Sagar explains that even if one devotee would destroy one of the leaves, then also there were millions of them, that his whole house would be completely destroyed. So the Kazi was hiding. Of course, then all the devotees, the close associates of the Lord, approached that, "Please forgive the Kazi, and if he does behave this like this the next time, you can kill him." And then finally the Lord loudly proclaimed that, "I have come to inaugurate the Sankirtan movement, and I will destroy anyone who is inimical to the chanting of the holy names." So the Lord loudly proclaimed that anyone who comes on the way, becomes a bada to Harinam Sankirtan, I will destroy him completely. So that assurance Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has given to all the future preachers and the preaching movement of Krishna consciousness, that he would personally destroy in the ultimate run who comes on the way of the Harinam, spreading of the Harinam Sankirtan. So in this way, the first Harinam Sankirtan and first movement was propagated by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So in the conclusion, the faith in, when we take complete shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, we can become completely fearless. Abhaya Charnaravindare. When we chant or glorify the Supreme Lord, Hare Krishna. Since it is late, we will not take questions. And please forgive me for any offensive. And Jai Granthra Srimad Bhagavatam Ki.